Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo with Stan Weber now joining us in studio. How are the roads, Stan?
Very good.
Really?
It's amazing the job they do. Congratulations. I know there are a lot of people out there working hard, listening to us, and it's an amazing job that they've done. Now, when you get into your neighborhoods, it can be a little slick. As here at WHB, you get close to the building, there's a little more snow, but out on the roads, they've done a fantastic job.
Really,
if you just go, I would say, how about 20 miles slower than you normally go, 15 miles an hour normal slower, then you're at a really safe pace, stay away from other cars, but it's not that bad right now on the Kansas side. I can't speak for going to
Missouri
the east,
was okay.
But you're,
yeah,
okay.
It was fine. The highways.
I'm on
good.
Major highways though too. Yeah. I'm not driving down, doing a big S pattern to get here.
I will say this, at the end of the day,
right?
View High Drive, which is the exit I get off of to go home, is a disaster because the road is falling apart.
Wow.
And this is not going to help it.
But, well, the potholes are outrageous,
yeah.
And I'll say there's one coming in here. Anybody coming to work at WHB in the right lane, there is a pothole you can't see because of snow. I thought I lost my tire going down. And it's happening on the highways.
Well, we're a private drive here,
Yeah, don't know about that.
No, we are. That's it.
I'm just saying that pothole is not there. I've driven over it so many times, and I go, what the heck? So those are out there on the highways too now. They're starting to open back up. Last year was so awful. They filled them back in the best they could, but yeah, you immediately start having the problems again. So what was that street? If it's hilly, it's bad. What was the street?
View High is where.
View High. I think that was part of the problem that you guys are talking about off the air.
Might have
about
been
viewing
high.
The Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, View High. It's all going to be fine, Stephen.
Stephen gets to go to the Super Bowl. Isn't that cool?
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah,
you
do. I get to go to Miami. Do I really
you
get
be in
to
the
go
stadium.
To the Super Bowl?
You'll be in the stadium.
Am I?
Yes.
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 It didn't sound like it was in that conversation.
The structure's big.
Right.
You're in there.
There's a lot of things that
it's
go on underneath, down below, all kinds of things.
It's going to be weird if someone sneaks up behind Lebo and knocks him out and takes his pass in the bathroom.
All good.
This is a luxury and the great
Trust
honor.
Me.
You guys do have a great honor. A lot of people would just die to get the opportunity that you two guys are going to have, but they don't understand it's not always as perfect as it seems. And we're talking about a little game day here, like who gets to, how many seats do you have to watch a game? And
it's a big job by the NFL to get this whole thing done.
Yeah.
And they got rules and all that stuff, but we're all going to be fine.
It is going to be very nerve-wracking that day because we're doing a remote. We're calling in Guy Fieri's tailgate that'll be because you cannot tailgate in the parking lot at the Super Bowl. No tailgating
illegal.
Is allowed.
What?
Security, no tailgating.
It's security stuff, man. They lock it down.
In so Miami far. Or every place?
This is a Super Bowl thing.
If it were at Arrowhead, they would not be able to tailgate.
I don't think they would.
Well, Super Bowl does not allow tailgating. And so there's a big tailgate. I think it's like what did Guy say yesterday? Like a mile?
Less than a mile.
Less than a mile.
It's about a mile, mile and a half walk.
And you think about, I've had some pretty damn good walks from tailgates at Arrowhead,
yeah.
So there's a lot of walking. That's not
if
a big deal.
If you're on that bottom lot, that's
right.
Probably about
no,
a
but
mile.
They, but that's that.
So you're walking distance.
Right.
When
Absolutely.
Will you be done with that?
It's a 15 or 20 minute walk.
I think we're going to be done maybe
1:30 or something, well before.
No, like 2 hours before kickoff,
yeah.
We'll be done.
Oh, before that, I think.
I don't know.
Kickoff's not Miami time until
6:20.
Yeah,
it starts like yeah. So
5:20 Central.
We're just gonna be there for like an hour and a half and go. I can't wait. Look, it's
I can't wait to hear your stories. Like what time you got to the stadium and what the pregame atmosphere is really like.
I'm glad we have work duties before.
Are you too nervous?
Because all day long, just left to my own devices, it would drive me crazy. And so I'm glad that we have to get ready and go and do a remote at the Guy Fieri tailgate. And then when that's over, we're heading over. And then by that time, the process is on and you get to the stadium. So it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a dream come true. So can't wait. We leave on Sunday and hopefully this stuff will start to clean up and clean out. Nate's at the airport right now, and we'll see if he gets out of town.
We'll be good on Sunday. We'll get out of town. It'll be beautiful.
Gary Lezak will give us that update. And so, Stan, we're going to get into quite a bit of stuff with you. We'll take a break. Before we get into football, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a little bit of a dust-up right there at the end of the game between Kansas State and Kansas. I know you're locked in on the game. Did you happen to see that?
I did. There is a new rule talking about the inside of how things work. There is a brand new rule in the Big 12 that they must put a television monitor in front of our radio broadcast site. Every place, visitor and home team, it's new. Okay, so we had a nice screen. So ESPN, every angle that you saw on TV,
you saw it all.
And many that you didn't, because the game ended and they went back to Bristol. But the guys who were working there in a truck had to keep rolling because they had to keep getting stuff for Bristol's later shows. And while we're doing post-game, which lasts a long time, like 45 minutes, they're rolling videos from everywhere just so they can get it back for the 10 o'clock Sports Center. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I saw many, 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 many angles of it.
Professionals like that guy right there in the truck making sure everyone's rolling. And by the way, clean feed sent back. By the way, Todd's a killjoy. The plan was when you walked in here, I was gonna have a stool swinging at you, and he said, you know,
I was gonna come take it out,
right? And he was gonna take it out. I was like, ah, you know.
Right,
but then,
Sunflower Showdown.
Right. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Twist motion by the Titans with defensive pressure, but Mahomes has time here. He throws it long. He's got a man in the middle of the field. Watkins, 15, 10, 5, angling left. Touchdown, Kansas City, a 60-yard touchdown.
Can Patrick Mahomes continue to just play great all the time?
Yes. I mean,
he hasn't even had a slump game yet. So just lay him out. If he played perfect. Go watch the tape of the first quarter.
He was great.
Oh, I did.
He did nothing wrong.
No. Nope.
And they're down 24-0. And they laugh at 24-0. So, you know, I got the Chiefs, 35-24, something like that.
I'll take that. What was the score, Todd?
Was it 17-14?
Nope.
What was it?
It was 35-24.
Damn.
Oh. When did Stan record that?
Damn, Stan.
This morning?
Yeah, I came in here this morning, recorded it.
Jake's amazing.
Nice job, Stan.
Was that last Friday on your show?
Yes.
Right here on your show?
Right.
Yeah, correct.
Wow. That's exactly right. I hope you're right. So,
I'm not going to ask you about
the Super Bowl yet. Let's look at the score.
I will ask you quickly, have you been playing your board game?
Yes.
How's it going?
Four games we played, and we need to play more next week.
What are the standings right now?
4-0.
For whom?
49ers.
That's ridiculous.
Really?
Need to rethink that game.
Make some adjustments. The average score of the previous week for the game, four games, 36-22.5 was the average Chiefs over Titans. So we're such big Chiefs fans, we're all sitting there going, we need to play next week because this just can't be right. It's not, you know, so... No, we're not concluding.
Are these good games?
Generally close, yes. But the Niners are never not there and in control of the game, if that makes sense.
Does it factor in Mahomes' magic by any chance?
No, that's a great point right there. Because here's what the game can't do. It cannot account for Belichick and Brady. We play the game, and there's a lot of things we take into account. Winning matters. It matters to the game. It changes things. We try to factor in everything, but there's a magic about Belichick and Brady that I couldn't get. John Elway, a guy who doesn't play consistently down after down after down when he's the quarterback of the Broncos, but could turn it on in the last 5 minutes, you couldn't capture that. And I'm hoping that you said the exact words that I thought about last night. I go, the one factor I don't have in here is Mahomes' magic.
Right.
So the good news is, in real life, Andy Reid, as a coach, can't be better than that if Belichick's not there. And Mahomes has played perfect football, and you can't account for what he can make as a difference. But I'll just say this. There's no doubt in my mind, I can play that game all I want, do all my analysis, tape study, whatever, and conclude. And I think that this is a dead-even game. I mean, I need to study it more, but there's no reason why I would say, oh, yeah, the Chiefs have an advantage and they're going to win. This is a dead-even game. I can make a case all over the place why the Chiefs are going to win. But you can make a case for the Chiefs as well. But it mostly lies with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. You know, it's not like, oh, this is a perfect matchup. The 49ers are bad at this. Here's something that will surprise you. The 49ers are not that great at stopping the run. We saw the Chiefs run the football in the second half.
Yeah.
Will Andy Reid attack with the run? And if you're a 49er fan, are you happy? Are you happy that, well, they gained six or seven, but I'd still rather not have Patrick Mahomes throw the ball? It's a very interesting thing, and that's what, you know, if you saw our guys coach, and our guys don't coach exactly like the real coaches do, they look at it differently. They pound the rock against the Niners. And no one has had the ability to just to go, I'm not going to attack that running game. I'm just going to throw. And so next week we'll have a game where someone will say, let's just throw all game, basically,
and see what happens. And that's what Andy Reid's going to do. That's just what he's going to do.
But that's the strength of the Niners. Pass rush and their secondary. That's the strength of the Niners. You're going into the strength of the Niners with your strength, which I agree. Patrick Mahomes has not been stopped. The weapons they have, Andy Reid's schemes, you're right. I think it's good. But I'm telling you, it's so tempting when you go, why would I fight all the time and be predictable right into their strength when this is their weakness? You can run on them as well. And I thought the guys had much more balanced play calling. So I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, right.
What will Andy Reid do? Because Andy Reid can run the football.
I need the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands as much as possible.
Mahomes running the ball. I'll say this too.
Don't be trying to me, Lebo.
I mean, RPO sounds like the perfect recipe for that.
And the other thing is, having a healthy Patrick Mahomes that can run is going to be a key. Because the Niners' defense has a strength on a pass rush and a good secondary coverage, but that doesn't mean they're perfect. They'll still let the quarterback slip out and run for 8 yards or 15 yards. And that's the one thing that can break their defense. And Patrick Mahomes has been doing it in the playoffs.
He's been doing it quickly, too. He hasn't been waiting for
coverage,
the play
he knows.
To totally break down. He'll just go out there and say, all right, let's go. Here's 6 yards.
But Damian Williams running the ball can be successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of people may not be talking about the Niners' defense is not scary against the run. The Chiefs will have success running, but every time you run, you're going to get between 2 and 8 yards, and you say, Patrick would have got 8 if he'd have thrown, so why do we run?
Can get a little lull to sleep. They remember the Chiefs played the Niners last year at home, week 3, and Mahomes had that amazing first half, you know, ran around, threw the ball, and they were up pretty big. That game got closer than you thought at the end.
Too many new faces for that to matter either.
There are a lot of new faces. One of the big new faces is on their defense, Nick Bosa.
And right? And Quan Alexander, you know, and Greenlaw. I mean,
but
like
they've
six
also, they also...
It's also the game Jimmy Garoppolo ripped his knee apart.
It's the very end, though. I mean, he'd come back pretty well. Second half of the game, they did a nice job on the Chiefs' offense. You know, the Chiefs only scored 3 points in the second half of that game, so they figured a little something out there.
They got a good formula.
I think this will be a really good game.
Every time the Chiefs get the football, what do you think the drive's going to end up? What do you think? When you're sitting there watching.
Well, you think they're going to score somehow.
Even a touchdown? I mean, every time they take the ball, I think this is going to be a touchdown drive.
Yeah.
And if it's a field goal, you go, the defense did okay. And if they have to punt or there's a drop pass,
if the Chiefs have to punt, you almost always think, well, someone dropped the ball.
Because
that's basically what it's been the last 2 weeks.
So now, again, if that is your philosophy, now most coaches can't accept this philosophy, but if that is your philosophy, I would propose to you, if you're a defensive coach or you're rooting for your team, forget the coaches, you're a San Francisco 49er fan, you're going, they're going to score a touchdown anyway, do something exotic. Make it hard. Be crazy. The Niners do that. I'm just telling you, that makes them more dangerous. The Chiefs may go out the house and score a touchdown on a play and go 60 yards, but it's worth it if you're a Niner if you get a third down stop. So they will bring guys to the line of scrimmage. They'll show exotic blitzes. They'll bring 5. They'll move out. They make it harder to realize what they're doing. And Patrick Mahomes has been deciphering and figuring out by his second step out of the center, he knows, oh, it's man-to-man. I got deep routes. They're only rushing 4 against the Texans. I'm going to run. He knew he was going to run. He didn't even wait in the pocket. He just goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's the gap. I'm going to run. It's harder to figure out what the Niners are doing than what the Texans and Titans do. That makes them a little bit more dangerous on defense, if that makes sense.
Next segment, we're going to talk about basketball, unless Lebo hijacks that segment as well. Back after this on WHB. Stan, give me your thoughts from your perspective on what you saw the final seconds of the Sunflower Showdown that turned into... basket brawl. Wouldn't really brawl, but I like that term.
It was the Sunflower,
right, Sunflower Showdown.
Throwdown.
Right. Sunflower Throwdown. That's good.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
You'd think the same thing that all the administrators and the coaches have said. You know, why doesn't make any sense, uncalled for, unacceptable, not what the program should be about, not what the kids are normally like. So as it went unfold, you just kind of shake your head and say, really? I mean, this is not like, you know, I've seen some basketball games that were knockout, drag out. You know, Missouri Tigers, under Norm Stewart, they used to get after it in some games. And I mean, physical picks that lay people out and, you know, blood rolling down the face and guys battling in a 65-64 game where you really are mad at each other and you don't like each other. And that, you know, that Jack Hartman and Norm Stewart nose-to-nose arguing without the officials even involved, just talking to each other. Those kind of intensity games, you know, that's one thing. This had nothing to do with that. It was 81-59 when this happened. But I do think after thinking about it, because, boy, it became national news. And
real quickly,
I was surprised they weren't talking about the Super Bowl. They finally got something else on the news with this event. And that's the first thing I thought. I go, this is unbelievable. But I tell you what, this brought basketball back into the front page.
We did not talk about it very much the day of the game just because we were still going through the celebration and the elation of the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl. And then the next day, we said, well, if for most of that game, like, hey, we ain't going to talk about this much tomorrow. But then, okay, if the Sunflower Showdown wanted to be back on top of the list, there it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Not what they wanted. I do think this, something that I heard stated Monday that I think is very true, is what happened, it escalated here. You know, that's how it happens. And it's awful that it fell over into the fans. I mean, that is the worst part to me. If they were out at the free throw line acting stupid, that's fine.
They avoided a disaster because that was the handicapped seating section. That could have been a disaster.
If it wasn't a 20-point game, there could have been a lot of people down there. They'd all left.
I mean, I know some people that were there that had already left because the game was pretty much at hand and they had left earlier.
They'd left because it didn't seem like there were that many people that they were maneuvering around. But that was the worst to me by far because we get a chance. You know, we get the great honor of being right there courtside.
So, and I know what were you looking at when it happened? Because you guys are poor. This happened right in front of the K-State bench.
We're on the opposite side of the K-State bench, and we are on the K-State side of half court. So the TV people are right at half court, and we're right next to them.
So you're looking
above the top of the key,
a smidge to your left.
I'm looking to my left, and they're on the other side of the basket.
Right.
So it's a little, you couldn't quite see the business
there.
But, you know, I saw the steal go in and then the shot block. And you can hear the emotions of the fans because they started booing when Dejuan Gordon made the steal. And then they started roaring when the block happened. And I happened to, with my own eyes, no replay, I happened to see DeSoso go over and bend over and start talking.
Yeah.
And so I did see that. And then I saw a few people moving. And then after that, it was more I watched the TV screen than over to my left because I couldn't tell.
Couldn't see what was back behind there.
I couldn't tell
where
what was going on.
Where you stand on the unwritten rules of don't steal the ball, let him dribble it out kind of thing.
Oh, well, you shouldn't steal the ball if you know what's going on. You know, Bruce Weber was saying that's enough. Bill Self was saying that's enough.
Coach Weber was down there about to shake hands.
Yeah. They just say, he even said on the previous possession, I saw him saying, I could hear him say, don't foul.
Right.
And that was a previous possession. Then K-State came down, and then when DeSoso went across half court, the coaches kind of give you that hand signal, just stay back, don't foul. And the other coach says, you know, don't score, and they start going to shake. Usually the coaches shake hands before the buzzer goes off.
Right, yeah.
Okay? But I will say this, back to my point, that I think a critical factor that got us where we are today compared to where it would have been is the fact that everyone thought the game was over. The players did not leave the bench because they were mad and wanted to fight. I don't think that at all. If DeSoso would have talked over Dejuan Gordon, maybe a player would have ran toward him who was on the court. The whistles would have blown. They would have gone, if there are 4 minutes left in the game, they go, technical. That's unacceptable. All the players would have stood on a sideline and never moved. The fact that they thought the game was over and they were already walking across onto the court to go shake hands, and then immediately turned and went a different direction. So, you know, guys like McCormick, Antonio Gordon for K-State, they caught a bad break in that they would have never gone down there. They would have stayed on their bench. It would have been no big deal. But because they left the bench, then things started escalating because now you got more humans running to a small spot. And it was like a funnel over there, right? Because we're talking about the court. After you leave the court, there's a basket stand, and then it was about 10 feet away is a media row,
right?
which could be for fans or media nowadays, mm-hmm. and the people who are handicapped are behind them.
Yeah,
so they're about
there,
10
yeah.
feet back. But to funnel through that media area and that goal, there's not a lot of room, and they are all trying to push into a small area, and that just started escalating things. So no one's actions should be, you know, there's no excuses for what anybody did, but if they wouldn't have thought the game was over, they would have all stood on the sideline and we wouldn't have had a fight.
We've got Stan Weber in studio, and but remember this, the final word came from Bruce Weber at his press conference, and this is what he had to say.
Thank you, guys. Go Chiefs.
That's the way you end.
Everyone's rooting for the Chiefs right now, Steven.
De-escalate things.
People were saying, you know, hey, Stan, did I see you over there? You need to be in a fight. And then I had to admit, so I'm going to do it publicly. I've done it enough now. I've never been in a fight in my life, so I'm the worst guy to ever talk about that. I'm saying that thinking about how much respect I have for you, because
they didn't have to hold you back from going after Greg Gurley. I mean, you look for any reason to take a swing at that
Greg Gurley, after he got off the air, came over, and we get along well with those guys. So no negativity.
That's right. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Go Chiefs.
Let me tell you something. You just got to hold on until next Sunday.
It's only 10 days,
almost
right?
1 week down. You got to hold on to the Super Bowl, baby. Just hold on. You got to hold on. You got to hold on, Kansas City.
It's only been 50 years. Just got to hold on for another week and a couple of days.
You know what makes it great is Todd would try to bait me right now just because he likes to mess with people, and he knows which buttons to push and go, hey, what do you think about only 1 week left in the football season? But because the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, it's like, nah, I'm still excited as can be.
Talking about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. But if you win the Super Bowl,
you bask.
The joy continues on.
You just
so.
Bask.
But it is. As I sit here, this is the last time I'm going to see you, Stephen, before the Super Bowl next week. You will be gone. I'll be out of town on Friday as well.
You know, this interesting perspective that Stan has, because you're a little older than
yes.
we are.
Yes.
So you remember Super Bowl IV.
I do remember Super Bowl IV.
And I was...
And three, but not one and two. That's... I'm so happy I remember Super Bowl IV.
That was your time that you remember?
I remember watching every play of Joe Namath beating the Colts and knowing what it meant and how surprising it was and all of that. And then the next year... Yeah, it absolutely knew everything about that game. I mean, it.
Less about the team struggling.
That's Joe Willie later. But yeah, the Chiefs beating the Vikings, that was such a big deal. And I'm very happy because I hear a lot of people say, gosh, I wish I. When Clark Hunt said, I really don't remember that game, it put it in a whole new perspective for me because I had full appreciation. I mean, I love football so much at a young age, and I'd sit there. I was the nerd kid who could sit and watch a whole game. In fact, when I was 5 years old, you guys talk about having children and how much fun it is to play video games or go outside in the old days and do things. We used to go outside and play sports and activities and tag and everything. The whole neighborhood, I'm talking about kids from high school down to 3 years old, would be outside, 20 kids, and they would come knock on the door at my house, and my mom would walk over there, and they'd say, can Stan play? And I would say, I'll come out in a couple minutes, which meant it was almost halftime of a game.
Can we real quick, we have Jake do that kids. He's a voice actor, you know.
How old are you? Let's just say
a seven-year-old's asking.
Okay, so let's have, what would it sound like for a youngster to come and ask Stan to play? Listen to this.
Mrs. Weber, can Stan come out and play?
Oh, didn't that make you feel like you're a kid again? That's incredible.
I can see myself.
That was Jake.
Oh, that's actually
that?
Great.
It's the same impersonation that? Jake does of Nate.
Nate.
At any time.
That's also how Nate sounds.
So maybe Nate came over to my house.
Seven-year-old. Or Nate.
Nate's uncle. Who knows? These kids are great. I had a great time with these kids, but I love football so much.
Watch.
I was sitting in front of my colored TV, worthy to note.
You
a
had
nice
colored
TV, because not everybody did when I was 5 years old. Most did, but not everybody. So I would say, yeah, I'll be out in a couple minutes, when I was sitting, not tempted to go outside at all until halftime or, you know, kneel down or whatever, and then I would burst outside. But the last thing I'd say to my mom is, call me when it's to the end of the half, which used to be 15 minutes or so. So I would go out there and play and play, and all of a sudden my mom would go,
Stan!
Can you do that one? Can you do that one?
It sounds like, she sounds like a seven-year-old kid.
No, she's yelling out to me. Stan, the second half's
ready.
What?
The second half's ready to start. And you'd think, oh, he's caught up in the game. He's
I'm out.
I would say, see you guys.
See you later.
And jet right back in and sit down. They would be playing out in my front yard, and I would not be tempted to go out there to watch an NFL game.
So the Super Bowl obviously is much bigger now than it was back then, but it was becoming a big deal. And by Super Bowl IV, it was legit. It wasn't. There weren't empty seats like there were at the Coliseum for Super Bowl
I. It was
Bowl
called
I.
the Super Bowl, for instance,
they
which it wasn't in number
and
one.
The merger had been announced, and it was happening. So this was really important for the Chiefs to win. You grew up in Chiefs Kingdom before it was that. And the AFL winning the year before was such a big deal, real legitimacy for the league. And now, you know, most people today don't even understand that there was an AFL and an NFL, and the AFL was looked down upon and all that. It's
the first time the Chiefs have been in a Super Bowl as an NFL team. I mentioned that last week. They were an AFL team as the last game as an AFL team with that patch on their shoulders when they beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
In Super Bowl
IV. They were
in
a big underdog. But people in Kansas City were confident, right? Because people in Kansas City have been watching this team win, and they'd gotten through the playoffs. But was there still the fear that, the NFL, the Jets won, it was a fluke?
I think the Jets winning took the fear out of it. And then it was just back to, you know, who's better. And the Chiefs were a leading-edge team. You think about Andy Reid. Let's go back when he's in Eagles. He threw the ball more than he ran, and people couldn't believe it. He was so far ahead of the curve, saying we can win throwing the ball better than just pounding it for two downs and putting our quarterback in a situation of third and long, that kind of thing. Hank Stram was so far ahead of his time, it was unbelievable. So the Chiefs were so fun to watch. So people loved to watch them, but the NFL was kind of simple, straightforward, and as a young kid, I didn't like that style at all. It was so boring. So, I mean, it was easy to love the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes obviously is off the charts. He may be playing as well as any quarterback I've ever seen. If he keeps this up, he will be the greatest player I've ever seen because he doesn't have down times. He plays great almost all the time, and he plays good at his worst. And he doesn't turn it over and all that. But back then, when you watch the Chiefs play, they had the weapons, kind of like this Chiefs team does. If you can put it in perspective, you know, 1969, January 11th, 1970 at the Super Bowl, the Chiefs were then, much like they are now, they were the team that were doing exotic things and had weapons. You know, Otis Taylor, you didn't see a lot of guys like Otis Taylor. Mike Garrett was the running back. Lenny Dawson rolling out. The shifts and movement that they had. Do you know that they used to line up in a three-man eye? The fullback and the running back would often line up in the eye formation. That was normal football. But the Chiefs would put a tight end right behind Len Dawson and then wait right before the snap, and he would either go to the left or right or go in motion. Well, when he's in the middle, it's called balanced formation. There's 11 guys, right? If you have him stacked in the middle, there's five on each side of the field. You can't tell if it's strong right or strong left, which is a basic thing in football. The first thing the defense yells out is strong right, strong left. The Chiefs set it up where there was no strong until right before the snap. So they were messing with
people. It's that window dressing that everyone uses now.
Yeah, 65 toss power trap. One of the great things is an influence block. You know, they don't block somebody. They pull and make you think something is going to happen. You leave a hole open, and Garrett runs right through a hole that became blocked because, you know, almost like zone read stuff now. Mm-hmm. Block yourself. Hank Stram and Len Dawson and the Chiefs' weapons were leading-edge stuff, so far ahead of their time. So I'm telling you, everyone was excited, but there was always a respect. Like, just because we do things at this high level, how will it match up? And it's not much different than what we're going to find next Sunday. The Chiefs are high level on offense. They attack you so well that you almost look at any defense and go, it doesn't matter. They're not as good as we are.
You used to be able to do the, like now, you comparative scores. So, you know, the Chiefs played this team and that team. Back then, you hadn't played anybody from the NFL. So
AFL never played an NFL game except for in preseason.
Yeah. It was the next, you know, the next year when they started crossing over and you could have a little bit of, oh, well, this team beat that team. So it was totally different.
The NFL as we know it today really started in 1970, was right after the Chiefs, because that's when they integrated in the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Colts, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are NFL teams, said, we're willing to move over and become AFC teams. And then you had cross divisions. And it's much like today. I mean, Pete Rozelle and the way the NFL did things in 1970 are really not that much different than now, about balanced schedules. And was it literally balanced schedules? But there was enough crossover, but not too much, because they still wanted to be a big deal for the Super Bowl. They really don't want a rematch. I mean, we accept it nowadays, but it's still better. It's so much better. We're sitting here going, I don't know how the Niners match up with the Chiefs. In fact, you're referencing, what, a game last year in Arrowhead. Well, the Niners were, what, a 4-12 team last year? They're nothing like
too
they
many
are
new
now.
Faces on defense.
Confidence. And
Garoppolo got hurt that day.
And for the
running backs, the speed
right.
they have.
But you think about the impact players for the Chiefs defense, Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. Hell, D. Ford was on the Chiefs. Now he's on the 49ers. Bosa was number two overall pick. I mean, there's
think about what the Chiefs have done since Kareem Hunt was a big part of the Chiefs that game.
Oh, he was very big, finishing off that 4-minute offense
yes,
stuff. Yeah,
and he's gone.
How about D. Ford though? That is the if you want your blood to boil. And I love games where there's risk. I mean, there's so much to gain right now. We're so happy that the Chiefs made it that even if they lose the Super Bowl, I'm thinking maybe we should still have a parade. It's still awesome. You still have Patrick Mahomes, but. When you think about D. Ford costing us a Super Bowl last year, and if he costs us another one this year, you talk about your blood boiling. That makes a little heat come up, and I like that. You know, we got to find a reason not only to want to win the Super Bowl, but to hate the Niners. And D. Ford, just think of the interview of D. Ford after the game. If he's over there, one of the guys talking about winning the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, how awful you'll feel, and that makes you mad and really want to win. And I love that feeling where we have. To win this game.
All right, here's a couple of interesting tweets I want to go over. Then I want to ask you one thing about the last game that the Chiefs and the 49ers played that has more to do with X's and O's. Stan, first, BR Gridiron, which is Bleacher Report's football Twitter account, they tweeted out a couple of things from one of the writers, Mike Freeman, that I find interesting. This is one guy talking to people. So this would be whatever. According to Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman, several assistant coaches and executives around the NFL expect Kansas City to win big against San Francisco. Freeman is stunned by how confident they are. And then the next tweet. Several assistants and executives around the NFL believe the Chiefs will blow out the Niners, according to Mike Freeman. One NFC assistant. There is no defense against Mahomes right now.
I'm all on board with the last statement. There's no defense for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the weapons that they have. The offensive line is playing at a high level. Damien Williams is healthy and they even have running game balance if they want it. So I agree with that. And there's a chance that the Chiefs overwhelm their opponent. And if Garoppolo has to drop back, and he's down by 10 points.
Good night.
Early third quarter.
Good
and he's
night,
got
Stan. Drop.
He's not going to win it. He can't do it. He can't do it from that position. They've got to stay in control of the game or close. But the Titans are another team that check them off. They lost their head. Let me ask you guys something. This is a pretty simple equation. Jake, you ready for this as well? Okay. You're on offense, and you're the offensive coordinator, and your team gets the football. What is the one goal? Say it's early, mid, third quarter. What is the one goal you have as an offense? What are you trying to do on this possession?
Move the ball, get you know,
score.
Score a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's it.
Get down.
Is there anything more?
You didn't say score.
you say move the ball, yeah. But I say highest goal. The best thing you can do on this drive.
Score.
Score a touchdown.
8 points is the highest goal you can get on a possession.
Right. And you're probably going to accept seven because your head coach isn't going to let you get eight. But when you start to drive, your goal is very simple to stay focused. It does not matter if you're up by three or down by 10. The most you can do on this possession is go down and score. What is the most likely way the Titans are going to drive down the field this season and score?
Either Derrick Henry running the ball or a big play.
Big play action pass.
Or a big play action pass down the field.
So the fact that they lost their head and quit running the football is just craziness. And it doesn't matter what the Chiefs and Mahomes did. He overwhelmed them. They got worried. But still, his goal is to score a touchdown. You can't leave your game plan. Here's the thing I think about the Niners. If they do get behind, what makes them dangerous is I think they'll stick to the game plan.
Steve
but if
Ryan.
if they put the ball in Garoppolo's hands and drop back passing, done. It's easy. Same thing with the Titans. Game over. But I think the head coach is calling the plays, not an offensive coordinator. And I think he'll keep his head. And if the Titans would have driven down the field, if it had taken 8 or 10 minutes or whatever, and got a touchdown against the Chiefs, then it would be in a one-score game, then you have a chance. So the Chiefs' offense is overwhelming teams. You had Spagnuolo today. His quote was perfect. He said this is a team game, and he talked about how basically the Titans left the game plan. He said at halftime, what? They're going to keep running. And then he said, you had the quote, as I drove in today, they basically didn't. The offensive coordinator lost his head.
The Chiefs' defense did a nice job. You know, they gave up three straight scores to start the game. In the first possession, they got it back. We were talking to Chris Jones about this, not the part where we recorded it, but they ran Derrick Henry, and I think he made a poor run. He cut back into Chris Jones. Then they got behind the chains. They had to punt the ball. Then they came back out, and then they got out of their head. They just quit doing what they should have been doing because Derrick Henry didn't get enough runs to kind of get going in the second half. And I think one of the best things that Andy did was your highest goal is to score. They didn't score in a minute and a half in the third quarter. They grounded out and kept their Chiefs defense off the field and scored a touchdown. It's the best thing going for the Chiefs at that point because you knew you didn't want Henry to get back out there and get rolling. They got to sit there and just score in six or seven minutes. It was great.
When the Chiefs get hot and then you see that Mahomes is on and things are rolling, it will force you to do things that you don't normally do. It puts pressure on you.
Right.
Because then it's in your head. Then
like
you
fake
know.
Punting.
Right.
And going for fourth downs and all those things.
But then you know, like, oh boy, we have to score with them now. We're not stopping them.
We need
anymore.
To get down there quickly.
Right.
And we don't just need to score. We need to score quickly. But the other thing that I don't agree with those as a general analysis. I do not agree that the Chiefs are going to blow them out. But how can it happen? The last statement is true that you read. The Chiefs offense may be unstoppable. It's no different than Super Bowl IV. I was saying that example. The Chiefs offense looked unstoppable in the 69 season, but you still wondered. Like, they're going against the Vikings. This is a little different. They're a little better. They're the NFL. But you know what? No one stopped them all year. And guess what? The Chiefs looked like the Chiefs dominated the Vikings. That could happen again, Steven. And the other thing is in Super Bowls, people lose their head faster. There have been more blowouts in Super Bowls than there ever should be. Why? When a team realizes it's all over and we're going to win, lose, and there's not next week, something happens.
Yeah.
And I've hated it. I'm glad we've, at least, you know, the only thing good about the Patriots winning is that they refuse to beat people by 30 points. I mean, Belichick just recalculates and goes, we can control this game. Every game that they played in the Super Bowl has basically been close.
Last year was the biggest blowout they've had, right? 10-point game?
Yeah.
I think every other game.
Most of them are close.
3-point games
and
stuff.
But the history of the Super Bowl, this is 53 we've already played, has been blowouts. It has been blowout city for many, many times.
It's not been nearly as bad in recent history. We had one real kind of bad one with the Seahawks over the Broncos, which made many people around here happy. But in the 80s, my youth time watching these games, you couldn't hardly watch a whole Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they were so bad.
You watched the halftime because all your friends, I mean, everybody wanted to watch the halftime and see what's going on. It was hard to watch the third and fourth quarter at these Super Bowl parties. So that could happen.
Unless the Broncos were losing, then it was hilarious.
And then you just watched and laughed. That was the fun part.
And they got run over a few times.
Right.
I mean, they got killed by the Giants. They got killed by the Redskins. It was awful.
Niners,
John Elway.
55 to
those were entertaining to me.
And then the Niners, oh gosh, the Chargers got killed by the Niners.
Cowboys did a lot of beatdowns.
Yeah. So the Chiefs could overwhelm them, but generally I think the odds makers have it right that this game is really, really going to be close.
Okay, I want to ask you about so one thing we can look at about the Chiefs and 49ers from last year. I want to ask you about this. Matt Bowen tweeted this out earlier this week. And he said, looking at 49ers coverage splits from the 2018 game against the Chiefs, zone man splits. Zone 67.5% of the time, man 32.5% of the time. And then the top zone coverages they used. Cover 3, 42.5% of the time. Cover 2, 12.5% of the time. Quarters, 10% of the time. Is there anything you can take away from that?
I think the Niners are going to have to end up with that kind of look. Mostly zone, mostly cover 3, which just means a third of the field for each guy. The corner has the back thirds, and there's this free safety. What they do is they give you a cover 2 look. Everyone wants to make it look like cover 2, and then they roll. One of the safeties comes down to the middle and becomes a robber, trying to look for dig routes, crossing routes, and that kind of thing. But for the Niners to have any success, they just got to mix it up. And that's what they have done recently. It makes them a little more dangerous. They'll play any of those coverages, and you don't know what down it's going to be, and they're going to try to disguise how they do it. So the linebackers become a giant key, Steven. Where are they going to be? In all those zone coverages, what's the underneath coverage look like? It's all about the linebackers because basically you make in quarters, if you think of it, you got 4 guys, but basically they're an umbrella. If it's third, they're over the top. They kind of make an umbrella. All that the throwing is going to be done is going to be underneath. Tony Romo was able to describe something he thinks about Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if he's talked to Patrick, but it is a good philosophy that the great quarterbacks do. They don't look at their receivers. They look at the defenders. They throw the ball away from the defenders, And oftentimes you hear like Travis Kelce go, how did you know I was going to do that? And how did they hook up on that play? Well, part of it's that Patrick Mahomes says Travis Kelce is smart. When he sees the ball up in the air, he'll go get it, and I'm throwing it into a hole where there's no defender. Then time, he can put a little more air on it, give Travis a little more time to get away. But Patrick Mahomes will be watching those linebackers. How effective will they be about being at the right spot? Sometimes you just get lucky and you're underneath Tyreek Hill and he would have been open on a route on the run. Instead, darn it, the linebacker's in the way. Got to go another direction. How well will they get to their spots? Will they cause any havoc or will they be invisible? And will Patrick Mahomes just throw it by him and just laugh? Then they got to go man-to-man. And then you're in trouble because Patrick Mahomes can start scrambling. But if they play the zone, their pass rush will be more effective. Okay, they can bring the heat with the zone.
That's the part, the pass rush.
Right, because now you have to respect that Patrick Mahomes is the leading rusher, not only in the playoffs for two games, each of the games. He scrambled. These were not run calls. These were pass plays where he ran. So I think the Niners are going to end up, they like playing zone better. I think they'll have a percentage of saying, we're playing more zone, but it's going to be exotic blitzes. They're going to bring five. Where's the guy going to come from? Can the linebackers get underneath? And if the Niners, if I were the Niners coaches, I would say, we're going to give up plays. That's okay. Let's just try to force a couple punts. Maybe get a turnover.
You know, and for them, holding the Chiefs to a field goal is a win.
Oh, that's an absolute win.
I mean, that's a win. And so I've been enthused by what I've seen from the offensive line now that they're totally healthy. And so we keep throwing this out there and whatever you want to take away from it. They're undefeated when Eric Fisher starts. They haven't lost a game with Eric Fisher starting at left tackle. And that's a comment that he's been very good, but also there is quite a drop-off to Cam Irving. But also, I really like the way Stefan Wisniewski has played. Wiz! So now that he's been inserted in there, so that you've seen now this continuity with Fisher back, with Schwartz, and then you got Wisniewski in there and the doctor. I think they've really come together and they're playing very, very well. What about now that this offensive line, now that Wisniewski's in there, how do you think they've played in these last couple of playoff games?
I think they played great. Basically, they got to pick up the blitzes and the stunts. Do not let I say a sack equals a punt. It also affects
not
your quarterback.
Not with this team sometimes. That's the difference.
Patrick Mahomes is the difference, the magic. But it gets in Patrick's head. You know, right now he is sitting back there in a pocket not even thinking about getting hit, fumble. You know, sack fumble is what a quarterback today. In modern football, you're worried about sack fumble. So if you think, I got pressure on my backside, you know, my left tackle's not holding him out, I better be careful, better move up in the pocket, even though you shouldn't, I better cover myself. Patrick Mahomes is dealing back there. He has complete confidence in the offensive line. So those guys, you know, they're not dominant because Patrick Mahomes is making them look dominant, okay? They are dominant because Patrick Mahomes is great. This is about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But the offensive line, if they get beat immediately and mostly with blitzes or stunts, then they can be circumvented. And they're picking those up like it's just the easiest thing ever. You know, you do a TE stunt. That's not easy for offensive linemen to hand it off at the right spot and not let pressure get into the quarterback's face. And they're just going, okay, you're twisting. You got him. I got him. That is hard to do. And they're just picking them up. No problem.
One of the things, I haven't watched all the Niners games, but it seems to me when I've seen them at their best on their defense, is when they don't have to blitz and rush extra guys. They can get there. I mean, they were all over Aaron Rodgers and wasn't all blitzing last week. And Aaron Rodgers is a nimble enough guy. But they have the ability, if they get going well, to get after quarterbacks without having to be too crazy. But what Patrick's done is if he sees that, he's moved around and gotten away from it. That's where someone has to be there to tackle him. And the Titans couldn't get that done last week. You know,
Titans don't run well from their interior. And that's the difference with the Niners.
Like the touchdown, the 27-yard run should never have been a touchdown. The linebacker, number 54, he went to the tunnel three times. He's got a foot issue, and he kept coming out. I'll give the guy credit. He kept coming out there. Well, he takes the juke. Like, what's Mahomes going to do? Why are you juking? You just push him to the sideline. Their linebackers were not up to par with what they needed to do later in that game, and Mahomes exploited that. That'll be the key. To find a way
to
halfway spy Patrick Mahomes to keep him out. But no one has thought that they had to spy him for the whole second half of the year because he's been hurt. But he's not hurt anymore.
Well, to say what you're saying, the difference between the Texans and the Titans game is Patrick Mahomes will drop back and he'll have time to throw in this game. They don't you know, they don't get through immediately. But after he sits, and if he doesn't see something right away, he's been able to scramble and really hurt teams. He will not be able to do that as well, because Bosa will be able to run him down. They're faster, and their linebackers can scrape and get to Mahomes. But I do not think the pass rush is going to be a problem on initial dropback.
Okay.
When he hits his back foot, he's going to have a count of one, one and a half to throw it. But if he doesn't get it done, now the Niners are different than the Texans and the Titans, because the Texans spread themselves out and let big gaps to run through, and they're playing man-to-man. And the Titans just aren't fast enough. They're more physical. Like, they're ready to play against Derrick Henry, their own guy. They'll beat you up. It's hard to run up the middle against the Titans. But when they had to run sideline to sideline on scramble situations, they don't have the speed that the Niners do. But I don't think that the Niners' defensive rush is going to overwhelm the Chiefs at all. It's going to take some coverage, and it's going to be somewhat luck that a linebacker drops back and gets in the way of Travis Kelce and makes Mahomes think, oh, I can't throw it, and then look one more second, and oh, here's Bosa, here's a D Ford. And then he's got to scramble, and he might get back to the line of scrimmage, but he isn't going to run for 15 yards very often.
49ers better score 35 if they want to think about beating the Chiefs. Might have to score more.
No, I agree with that. But the thing I'll say is the Niners have the capability of scoring 35 points. Because it isn't about what we have differently in today's football is it's not just about the passing game. High-scoring football can be done with a running game or the passing game. The Baltimore Ravens are lethal on offense, and they basically try to run the ball a little bit more. The Niners are lethal on offense, even when they run the football. Everyone looks at eight passes in the last game. Well, they're not going to do that. They're going to have to throw the ball more. The game's going to be put on Garoppolo's plate and say what you can do. But they have big play capability in the running game. So I'll be surprised if the Niners aren't sitting around 30 points. So the question is who gets the 35th or the 37th point. I think they're going to be the winners. I think they're both going to be in the high 20s at least.
All I can tell you is for 30 years for me, well, no, 40 years, whatever, how long it's been, I'm old. All I've been preaching, and anyone that's watched this team fail in the playoffs over the years, all we've ever preached is the better quarterback wins. When there's a decided advantage between the quarterbacks, you go with the elite quarterback, the better quarterback, and it ain't close. Garoppolo's a fine quarterback, not close to Mahomes. And
no,
that's why I'm so confident in this game.
And Andy Reid's the more established.
Right. And Steve Spagnuolo
has designed
a defense that stopped at the time the highest scoring offense in Super Bowl, you know, that was ever in a Super Bowl, and shut them down. And so anything could happen, but I feel great right now. And look at Jake. I don't know what Jake feels, but Jake's making me mad because he's got no emotion.
Can I give you like the old coach talk for a second though, Steven?
Sure.
You don't seem.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean,
you don't want to hear it.
It's not going to change me. But okay. Yes,
I'm saying when you make it to the Super Bowl,
right,
and you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's been 50 years, it's totally for you, and we should just be doing backflips. And we keep saying we're going to have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid for many years, and I told you if the Chiefs win the game, floodgates open. We may be talking about the Chiefs being there all the time. I truly believe that. All the stigmas of not getting there, it's over. The Chiefs are the dominant team in the NFL for the next 5 years, okay? But what I find around Kansas City is such a confidence level, like, oh, man, we are unstoppable. We are like the 2015 Royals. We are going to win, and I can't wait to celebrate. And that is totally not looking at what you got the hardest game of the year against a legitimate opponent in the 49ers, and all you've done is beat the Texans and the Titans, who aren't very good, by the way.
This is the best team the Chiefs have played since when?
I can't go back through the schedule very well.
They're better than the
Ravens back?
Probably.
That's too long ago, right?
It's a long time ago. This is a very good opponent.
I mean, the Titans are scary, but the Chiefs are behind 24-0 to Texans, 17-7 to the Titans, and you're getting ready to play the hardest game against a legitimate team. I said last week, the last thing after I said 35-24, Jake knows, I said, root for the Packers.
Yeah.
And I would be just like you, Steven, and everybody else going, we're going to roll the Packers.
Oh, easy.
We're going to celebrate. And I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to study it more. But I'm telling you, this is scary. And you better respect your opponent. And the Chiefs will not be a disappointment if they lose. This is the hardest game of the year against a team that has a championship mentality. They have a coach in Shanahan who's not just a young coach. He's been to the Super Bowl. His dad, it matters.
Patrick Mahomes' dad being a Major League Baseball player matters to the makeup of Patrick Mahomes. He's a grown-up. He understands this. But the coach of the 49ers is more grown-up than you think. They have a good strategy to play the Chiefs. It is a tough fight. Get ready for a battle. Be nervous about the opponent and get ready to fight. I don't think the Chiefs player, what we think, right, doesn't matter.
Who cares if I'm overconfident? I mean, it's the players. I mean,
right.
I'm just saying, playing.
To the fans, it just seems like this is going to be a coronation party. Like you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
This is a giant game. This is going to be hard.
This is going to be
a 50-50 shot.
This city had so much confidence.
Everyone's so confident right now. This Texans game,
everyone's, he's killed the Texans. And it was 24-0. I'm like, oh, my God.
But I don't think anyone thinks it's easy. I think everyone's elated because the Chiefs finally made the Super Bowl.
I'm fine with that. Totally cool. Let's celebrate.
You know?
But I'm thinking slipped over to something different. You know, I listen to a lot of things and try to study as much as possible. And to me, there is an unbelievable confidence that the Chiefs are going to win a Super Bowl. And I go, wow, there's going to be an unbelievable battle on Sunday. And
there is.
But with more respect, we can't get the Packers in there still.
There's no way.
We'd roll the Packers. Niners are tough. And these are two legitimate Super Bowl championship level teams, how they played in the regular season, where they are. And so, if that makes sense, the euphoria is great and the enthusiasm is great, but this idea that, oh, it's going to be easy because we got Mahomes and Andy Reid, that's not the reality. It's going to be hard.
See, I could turn that around and say the Chiefs, who do the Niners beat against? The Vikings or the Packers? The Chiefs beat the Vikings with Matt Moore, and the Chiefs had a one-score game against the Packers with Matt Moore.
And they played an even game with the Seahawks, and the Seahawks floated out of the playoffs. You know, they could have lost that game. It was inches away.
Last five games of the regular season for the Niners, they lost at Baltimore 20-17. They won at New Orleans 48-46. They lost to the Falcons 29-22. They beat the Rams 34-31. And they beat the Seahawks 26-21. They're a really, really good team, but they ain't the 85 Bears.
No, and they're playing the best team they played
absolutely. But it's going to be a great game, but I just bristle because I've heard so many national people try to tell Chiefs fans, "Oh, calm down! You just made the Super Bowl. Don't be excited." I'm not saying that at all. I mean, people just love Mahomes, and we think he's going to win. They might not, but I'd rather have that.
That's why I said it's coach talk. You never overlook an opponent. You never do anything other than say it's game week. We're not quite there, but it's just this week's fun. Let's have it for you this week. But next week
it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out game.
Let's get ready to roll and respect the opponent. And be ready. It'll be even more joyous, in my opinion. If you sit down and you get ready to watch that Super Bowl, wherever you're sitting, Stephen, if you're at 50-yard line, third row, or wherever you are, when you sit down, when you have concern, like, man, that opponent is good. But if you win the game, how much better will you feel that you beat a team that's that legitimate, that had that much concern in your brain? It's even a greater statement that how awesome the Chiefs are. But if it's a struggle, don't be surprised. I mean, this game should be a struggle.
Right, and look, the Titans game wasn't easy. It was a four-point game at halftime. I mean, the Texans game wasn't easy. They were down 24-0, but they overcame those two obstacles. And look, I mean, the Ravens, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Titans beat the Ravens. I mean, you got to give them credit. They wanted the Patriots as well. I mean, we could.
I thought the Titans are dangerous. I told you they were more dangerous than the Texans before the Ravens game.
But I think, again, I don't think, like what Mike Freeman said, I don't agree with that. Or the people that are saying it's going to be a blowout. I don't think that's – could it happen? Sure, it could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a knockdown, dragout. Could be a one-score game, and it comes down to the fourth quarter. But I just feel like if that happens and it comes down to the fourth quarter and you're depending on what quarterback's going to make the plays with the game on the line, give me Mahomes over Garoppolo. And to me, that's not a difficult pick because I think it is going to come down to that situation.
Right, and that's why you know when you say I'm not ready to decide exactly where I'm going on this, but you have to lean to the Chiefs because you go Patrick Mahomes,
right? Because I've seen that song
Patrick
so many
Mahomes
times
against Garoppolo,
right? Where the Chiefs had this great defense and an awesome running game and terrific special teams and a great 53-man roster, and they'd lose to the better quarterback, and they'd always lose to the better quarterback. And in this Super Bowl matchup, you could debate all these different things, but there's one thing you cannot debate: the Chiefs have the better quarterback. And that's
why I said really early at the beginning of the week that I thought Garoppolo is the most important player to watch because I think he has a wide range of capability where he might play. He may be Tannehill all over again, just a
decent quarterback who's not ready for Super Bowl level or to carry a team. And if he plays like that, Chiefs win easy. If he plays his best, though, he's got, what, the highest completion percentage, or one of the highest in the NFL, a good deep thrower. If the running game works, like Jared Goff, when a running game worked, then the passing game can work. When you put it all together, if Garoppolo plays his best football, the Niners are going to be hard to beat. But where's he going to play? You know where Patrick Mahomes is going to play. He's going to play excellent. I mean, the variability of Patrick Mahomes is almost zero. He's going to bring it and play at a high level. But Garoppolo, wow, I could fill out a wide range of how he plays, and I think he'll be the deciding factor in the game. He has to play great for the 49ers to win.
Stan, you hanging out or you got a roll?
What do we got?
Going to hang out with us another segment?
Sure.
All right. Stan doesn't want to get back out on the streets. It's snowing out there. Back after this on WHB. All right. Everyone's going to put their thinking caps on right now. We're going to have a trivia contest between the three of you.
Mine's a little rusty.
The NFL has held the Super Bowl 1 week after the conference championship games. How many times?
Three.
I don't remember what happened way back in the early days.
I'm going to say seven.
9/11 was one of them. They shortened the week.
Well, everyone else has answered except you.
What'd you do with question?
What's up, Nate?
Make a guess.
Five.
Seven times. Stan Weber wins. The last time was January 26, 2003, when Tampa beat Oakland. That was also the last time a Super Bowl was played in January.
Oops. David Barrett.
So.
Is it David Barrett?
It's also the last Barrett Robbins.
Barrett Robbins.
It's the last time I went to the Super Bowl.
That's the guy who sings the...
Yeah, was it in San Diego?
It was in San Diego. That's the last time I went.
Was it called Jack Murphy's?
Because I didn't go to the Super Bowl. That's the last time I went to Super Bowl week because my birthday is this Saturday, February 1st. And when they moved it back, I'm like, I don't want to be out of town on my birthday. So I quit going when they moved it to February.
And what's this Saturday?
My birthday's, I'll be there.
A nifty 50, baby.
Old balls over there, we call it.
What do you think of that, Stan? He's going to turn 50 down in Miami with me.
Old balls over there, we call it.
That's hard to believe. And then he's he started out early in this segment saying, oh, Stan, you're a lot older than me.
Well,
and Stan.
Wow. He did say that.
He did say that.
I'm not that much older than you.
Lebo's asking to wake up on the beach for his 50th birthday.
Barrett Robbins got lost in Tijuana. We almost lost Aaron Swartz in Tijuana at that same Super Bowl.
Hee-haw, hee-haw.
We almost lost him. He refused to walk inside Del Taco the next morning. I know that.
I see Aaron Swartz at church a lot, so he made it back. I know
he made it back, but we were lost for a little bit, and we did lose Kevin's phone in Tijuana. So
I can't wait to hear the stories from you two back when you get back. The behind the scenes stuff.
He's going to Snapchat the whole thing. It'll be all out there. You on Snapchat, Stan? You got to get on there and follow Steven. We're going to be snapping the whole story.
I'm on Snapchat only with my family group, though. Just a very small.
Now, you are on Snapchat.
Are you really?
With my family only.
Yes.
That's the one where it goes away.
Yeah.
Goes away forever.
Right. That really.
Right.
Forever.
Check with the NSA.
Right. I don't believe that. But
what?
My family from my wife and I down to our grandchildren, that'd be eight people. That's the only ones I get snaps from. So
let me say this. Stan brought this up in the commercial break, and this is an underplayed part of this Super Bowl. And now when I say I hate a coach, I'm talking about sports hate, not real hate. Maybe I use the word despise.
Disdain.
How about despise? Of all the football coaches that I have despised in my life that have provided me with tremendous heartache and heartbreak, maybe at the top of the list, but certainly very close, would be Mike Shanahan.
And he's sitting there helping his son. He's in the stadium.
Oh, now my blood's boiling.
You need your blood boiling for this game. Do you understand that competition level? You need to attack the opponent. This is not a celebration. This is an attack of an opponent. And it changes your mindset when you get ready to watch the Super Bowl. It makes it much more concerning and much more fun and much more happiness afterwards when you win. It's not just like when the Royals won the World Series, it's not like we knocked out the Dodgers and the Yankees or the Cardinals. We just won. It was exciting. You got to make this personal. This is like playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the baseball World Series. It's like 2015 being as the Cardinals. You got to figure that. Shanahan is on the sideline.
I was watching.
Can you imagine Shanahan and D.
Dee Ford are celebrating together that they beat the Chiefs.
The NFL Network was playing the 94 Chiefs-Niners game the other day. They're just playing all these old games.
Awesome. Joe Montana over Steve Young.
Yeah, and they show over the sideline. You know who's calling the plays? The OC over there? Mike Shanahan. That was the year before he got a head coaching job. Now, Chiefs won that game. Niners won the Super Bowl, you know? So it's just, yes, the hatred is there. I saw him pop. I'm like, oh, I forgot that's where he was before he got the Denver job.
We need to find reason to attack these guys. They're not just anonymous opponents.
And where did Kyle Shanahan go to college, Stephen?
Texas.
Boom. There it is.
Horns down for you.
Done with him.
How did you do against Oklahoma?
Never waited.
Right. Stan, so you want to hold on before you give a prediction? Well, I mean, you can do it next week. I mean, you want to give an early one? Do you want to where you're leaning, or do you just want to wait till next week?
Right now it's a dead even game, and I can't. If I had to lean, I definitely think Patrick Mahomes is the difference maker. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes will find a way to win. But that is magic. That is quarterback. When you break it out without the magic, without the quarterback, I just keep going, man, this is scary. This is scary. It's a 50-50. I mean, I call it scary 50-50. I'd love it to be 70-30 Chiefs. If they're playing the Packers, I'd be going 80-20 Chiefs. Disasters can happen. Rodgers is okay. The Niners are a legitimate Super Bowl champion team in 2019. So are the Chiefs. It makes it a 50-50 game. So we'll talk about it next week. I'll ask Jake what the schedule's going to be because I haven't.
You think he knows?
We'll get him.
You'll be in here next Friday. No, I'm going to be out of town next
he's
Friday.
Gone. He's gone.
Where you so be? I need to decide if he wants me to come in on Thursday be, or phone or what we want to do.
Where will you be, sir? Tell me.
West Virginia, K-State basketball.
Oh.
I was leaving on Thursday night.
Oh, really?
To head to West Virginia for a Saturday game.
Are you going to go to the seafood restaurant that Bob Huggins raved about during media day? What was the name of that?
I can't remember it.
What did he say about it?
He tweeted out. He said his daughter made him send the tweet.
He said he says delicious.
Delicious.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Bob Huggins.
I think I have eaten there.
What?
I think I do eat there.
It's a smart seafood place. It's the one, probably, right?
I think when we go on these trips with basketball, it's first class.
If Bob Huggins is telling me where to eat, I'm going. You know what I mean? Like, there's some people
I
you
know
take
Bob
advice
Huggins
from,
very
right.
well.
He would know where good seafood is in West Virginia.
He knows everything good about West Virginia.
You can probably find that tweet. He's not a.
But I'm going to be there. I'm flying out on Thursday night, Jake. I hadn't told you that yet. So whenever Jake tells me to do, I'll be ready to roll.
Jake's on a need to know basis.
I'm not going to see you until after the Super Bowl.
We'll be
so,
in Miami.
Wave the flag down there. Have a good time, guys. And can't wait to hear back about the stories.
Hey, everyone. If you're looking for some good seafood in Morgantown, make sure you stop at the West Virginia Flying Fish off the Pierpont exit. Great food and even better service.
See?
The Flying Fish & Co. right there on Mid-Atlantic Drive.
Jake, if you were going to West Virginia.
Right next to the river.
Straight from the airport.
You don't even finish the question.
You don't even think about it.
Yeah. Fish and chips. Right. One huge full filet batter fried cod.
I want some cod.
Fries.
A nice big glass of bourbon and you're ready to go.
Cod.
1 pound of steamed snow or cream
Yeah, there you go.
You should be on the radio.
Are you going to snap Chad Todd sleeping?
Yeah.
That's a little unfair.
He has no idea.
Because Todd might sleep until
he's
like 5:30 in the morning. You get up at 4.
You're
going to be wide awake.
My wife.
We got work to do.
My wife keeps telling me, she goes, you're going to make him so mad. I go, you know what? He's been one of my closest friends for 2 decades. He should know what to expect.
Right.
We've lived together up in River Falls, Wisconsin.
It's been a while since
you know the room. You know what I have to offer?
You'll be fine.
You'll see it. That's Stan
Weber. I have absolutely no concern. I know you guys well enough.
He does.
I have no concern at all. You're going to be
fine.
Great together.
Oh, I'm certainly concerned.
Are you concerned for Lebo or what? Who are you concerned
for? You're both well-being.
I can't help myself.
Well.
All right? Stan, thank you very much for coming in studio with the snow and everything. So.
Well, thanks for having me, man. We are 1 week away from the Super Bowl, and our team is in it.
I'm going to Miami. with Todd.
You're
going to
be at the Super Bowl.
With Todd. Thank you very much. That's Stan Weber. Let's see what Gary Lezak has to say about this damn weather. Up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.